Thank you, Mallory and Emma. It was beautiful. And of course, Megan for playing the piano for us as well. We're going to start off with our memory verse this morning, as usual, and we'll say the scripture reference and we'll say the verse together and finish off with the reference. So you can see it's Isaiah 26:3. Here we go. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Isaiah 26:3. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we open up our hearts and our minds as we talk a little bit about fear this morning. And we say thank you for the music that's been presented already. And Heavenly Father, we've been able to sing to you and worship your name. We humble ourselves before you now as we move a bit into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know we have a couple of visitors, of course, some parents from the gals that just sang this morning, but then I've got two friends who said if they're in town, they come, they want to hear a Sven and Ole story. And so I thought I'd share one with you since we're talking about fear. Now, some of you that are new to the church, the reason I share Sven and Ole stories is because I'm from Minnesota and, you know, they talk kind of funny, which, you know, I used to, I suppose, talk like that, don't you know? Well, Sven and Ole, you know, they used to live in the lunatic asylum in St. Paul, Minnesota, don't you know? And I never knew that. It's kind of new to me. And one night they decided that they didn't like living in that asylum anymore. And so they decided to escape, yeah. Well, they go up to the roof and, you know, they're looking across this narrow gap and it just looks so wonderful. It's just a jump across to the moon and the stars, and they see all the rooftops and all the beautiful freedom that they might have if they could just only escape. Well, Sven, who's very sure-footed, he goes ahead and he runs and he makes the jump all the way across and lands on the other side, no problem. But Ole, he has a lot of fear. He's afraid of things, and he tried to get up to the nerve, but there's a lot of sweat and a lot of anxiety, and he was just so afraid to jump. He stood there frozen, you know, like a January night in Minnesota, very cold. Well, suddenly Sven had an idea. He shouted out to Ole, "Hey, Ole, you know, I have my flashlight with me. I'll shine it across the gap between the buildings, and you can walk along the beam to the other side." Ole thought about that for just a moment, and then he yelled back, "Well, what do you think, I'm crazy? You would turn it off as soon as I got halfway across." Yeah, it's pretty dumb. But anyways, we're talking about fear this morning, kind of this emotional dread or an impending doom, if some of you have ever experienced it before. Misfortune. Have you ever been afraid before or scared silly of something? We talked a bit last week about one of our biggest deals in life is fear, and that many times we let fear defeat our faith. In other words, fear over faith, when it should be the other way around. It should be faith over fear, right? So we talked a bit about all the negativity in the world. There are so many things that need to be fixed in our world and taken care of or solved. But because we fear so much, a lot of times we become immobilized, like Ole on a January day in Minnesota. And that fear, that particular fear, it hampers our activity, it hampers our creativity. And as Christians, of course, we should be bright, have a positive attitude, which includes that brighter day we were talking about. In other words, we should live without fear. Thing is, as believers in Jesus, we have this great opportunity to be a church of positive influence in our world. Taking the story Tim was talking about this morning of Christ dying and rising again, ascending, that's all positive stuff. We need to be taking that into our world. And often we as Christians are characterized by fear. Did you know that? A lot of us Christians live in fear. Or it could be just some of the usual fears that we would normally face, you know, in our daily lives. So what I want you to do right now is just take a second and think about some of those fears, some of those things that really get you uptight or nervous, and I want you to just shout them out. Shout a couple out. I'll tell you one of mine a little later on. But does anybody have a fear? Fear of something or?
Failure.
Fear of failure. Say it again.
Bad health.
Bad health. Life?
Height.
Height. Okay.
Lack of money.
Okay. Say it again.
Storms.
What did he say?
Closets.
Wow. Okay. I'm starting to get to know some of you now here finally. After all these years. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, isn't there?
Now, I don't want us to confuse the terrifying doom kind of fear with the fear of the Lord.
Now, the fear of the Lord, I think rightly understood, is an awe-inspiring reverence. This is the kind of fear that draws you to God. Now, there's also that other side of fear, the fear of God. If you don't know God, things aren't going to work out too well at the end of life, right? So there is that kind of fear. But the fear that I want us to understand and kind of accept today is that the fear of God is this fear that says our God is awesome. He's wonderful. He's gigantic. He's bigger than the universe. God is a wow thing, an amazing spirit and entity. So the doom kind of fear of the Lord, it comes from not knowing him, right? So for this morning, we're going to say that we have this awe-inspiring fear of the Lord. We're all going to say that together, whether you believe it or not this morning. That's what we're going to pretend this morning, that we all have this awe-inspiring reverence of the Lord, a fear that does not push God away, but a fear that draws us to the Heavenly Father. So the word afraid, if you look it up in the Bible, is used about 211 times, and the word fear is used another 260 or so times. So the Bible talks a lot about fear and talks a lot about being afraid, and Jesus talks a lot about do not be afraid. So as I've been working on this series and kind of overcoming our negativity, and remember last week we tried to hop onto the happy train or the blessed train with Jesus, I felt one needs Jesus then to drive out all our fears in order to be effective in our world, to lead others to him, to have that positive impact on those we know, those that we engage with, and those we become acquainted with. Of course, that includes family, friends, your neighbors and such. And in a way, this can happen as we love and continue to grow in love. And that's the love of God. The love of Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:16, if you want to write this down, that God is love. And then it continues on. It says that there is no fear in love. In fact, perfect love perfect love casts out all fear. And that fear has to do with punishment. When we think of fear, we're going to be punished, or something bad's going to happen. Remember that doom or whatever. So does that mean, if I fear snakes, I do not have love? No, you should fear a snake because it's going to bite you. But as we grow in love, what love can do is cast out those fears of sharing our faith, which many of us have. Telling others about Jesus, or even striking up new friendships, or having confidence at work or home as a husband, a wife, a son, or daughter, a student. God, you see, wrapped around us, can cast out those fears, and that love brings confidence to us that tells us then there's going to be a brighter day. Remember, we talked about Christians having a brighter day. The world doesn't think that way. The world thinks tomorrow's not going to be so good. I want to take a quick look at fear in the Bible. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. And I'm going to read some of it, maybe all of it, and just kind of chat just for a little bit. Mark chapter 5, starting verse 21.
So here is where Jesus, a lot of you know this story, Jesus raises this dead girl and then he heals a sick woman. So when Jesus again had crossed over by the boat the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that he will be healed and or she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. I just want to stop there just for a second. What do you think this guy was fearing? The loss of his daughter. And did you notice how he approached Jesus? It was kind of a fear and trembling thing, wasn't it? He bowed down at Jesus' feet, but it was an awe-inspiring thing that drew him to Jesus. Not run away. He wasn't fearing punishment. He was drawn to Jesus. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him, the crowd, and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Do you see a little fear in there? She's been bleeding for 12 years. She doesn't know how long this is going to last. This could be the end of time for her because it's getting worse. So maybe she's fearing death here, right? But then I think she fears Jesus kind of in a different way. She sneaks up behind him. She just doesn't go up to him like Jairus did. She sort of sneaks up behind him. Maybe she's a little bit afraid of him. It could have been a punishment thing or something, but there was some kind of fear going on. Immediately says, after she touched him, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Well, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with what? Wow. She's trembling with fear. And then she goes, "Boy, I better tell the truth or I'm going to get in trouble here." So she tells the whole truth and what happened, how she touched him and how she was healed. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." Well, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came to the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." I mean, how would you feel? Somebody comes up and says, "Hey, your daughter's dead." And somebody else says, "Well, don't be afraid. Just believe." Right? I'd probably still be in fear that my daughter was dead. But here's Jesus. "Don't be afraid." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Of course, they all laughed at him, the Bible tells us. And after he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up, began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. You know, there are so many stories of fear in the Bible. Peter jumping out of the boat and walking on water and fearing his doom and falling and Jesus reaching out and all these kind of do not be afraid stories. Often Jesus tells people not to fear, rather believe. And so many of us consistently live in fear. While Stacy and I were in Helen, Georgia celebrating 30 years of marriage just a couple weeks ago, we decided to go zip lining. Anybody be afraid to zip line? Yeah, we have some folks out there. Well, we were both excited. I've always wanted to do this, and I think we had about 10 in our group from a couple smaller kids. I think one was actually maybe Rory's age, and of course, us older, bigger kids were along for the ride. And, you know, I've always been afraid of heights. I know somebody else said they were afraid of heights back in here, and I'm tremendously afraid of heights, but I always wanted to zip line. The first thing we had to do was climb this small spiral staircase that was wrapped around this big, huge tree. And I'm climbing up thinking, well, this isn't really all that bad. I don't have to look down. Just a little bit nervous. And I was last in line. Why? Because Stacy said I needed to be. She seemed like she was the one that was going to be the scared one. So we go up the tree, and that wasn't so bad. The first line, zip line, was awesome. I felt comfortable. I didn't care about the heights. Zipped all the way across the other, or to the second tree. It's comfy and secure. But when we landed on that second tree, we had to walk across a slated bridge. And the little planks were these little, your feet could barely stand on them, right? And it's like this. And I'm looking down into the what? The great abyss. This is where I'm going to go. I didn't sign up for high ropes or anything like that. I wanted a zip line. That's all I wanted to do. So, you know, I prayed my way across that bridge. I hated every step. Hated it. Zip was great. Oh, flew across the valley. It was just wonderful, comfortable. We get to the next one, there's another bridge. And I'm starting to get mad now. And Stacy's trying to calm my fears. And I'm like, just wait till we get down. So I hated that one too. After the second time, the nightmare showed up. And that was a tight rope that went from one tree to the next. Just a small cable you had to walk on. Now, there were those two cables there that you could hold on, but you're kind of doing this kind of thing. And the abyss was much deeper. This one, I think, was probably hell itself down below. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm sweating. I was so nervous. My arms were shaking. Everything was shaking. And I swear I could hear this little kid up front. Look at that dork, Dad. Big guy. Can't even get across. Yeah, whatever. Stacy tried to calm my nerves. She said a few things, encouraging words, and I encouragingly told her to be quiet and let me sweat. She had requested, it was so bad everybody had zipped down, and I was still on the rope. And so Stacy requested to the leader guy, the professional, to come and get me. So he comes up, he starts getting back, he's in the tree, and he's putting his hand out, and I said, get away from me, you know. I'm going to make it. I finally did make it to that last zip, and that was so fun. So fun. But here's the interesting thing about this particular zip line. There was no way I was going to fall. I was tethered the whole way. There's no separation. You never click off to go from one station to the next. You always move your line. You're always attached. They have this new kind of fangled thing, metal thing, that it goes right through. And you can never fall. I mean, you can fall like 3 feet or something like that, but it's always going to catch you. I was always secure, yet I was scared silly. Now, why is that? Why didn't I have faith like those other guys going across? Why didn't I have faith in what was protecting me? And I think it's the same way with Jesus, right? I mean, there's no way he's going to let go. Why don't we have the faith to overcome our fears? We feel like we're walking on a tightrope maybe every day when we go to work or whatever. Hey, Jesus is in charge. It still can be a little bit scary, but he's always there. He's always going to protect you. He's always going to keep you secure. Don't be afraid, Jesus tells us. He tells us to live life to the fullest, doesn't he? To love others deeply, and love is what casts out all fear. So my thinking is, the more we love people, the less fear we have in life. God is always right there with you. And I think Jesus is that great safety line, don't you think? Today is a great day. Great day to give your fears over to the Lord. To be sort of cabled to Jesus in a sense. So that when you walk over those bridges of life, those kind of scary things, you know for sure that Jesus is there. Doesn't mean that you're not going to sweat from time to time. But Jesus will always get you to the other side. Once you're there, it's zip line a go-go. That's the fun part. As I close, a reminder that we're taking the youth boating at Lake Raccoon, and that's why I brought up my life jacket, or one of our life jackets. Each person that goes on the right boat is required to wear a life jacket. It's something that needs to be worn to keep you alive if you fall in the water. I mean, over 90% of all boat fatalities come from knuckleheads not wearing a life jacket. Over 90%. Why wouldn't you wear one? Even if you think you're a good swimmer. The Bible tells us that all who believe in Jesus, that is, all who put on the full armor of God, who confess his name, will be saved. That's 100% of people who put on Jesus will be saved. And that takes away a lot of fear, doesn't it? Why wouldn't you believe? Why wouldn't you? I think it's much better zipping through life cabled to Christ than to not have anything, right? It brings you that heaven Tim mentioned about before, but it helps us to live on this earth as well. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for wrapping yourself around us. We thank you that we can be in fear of you, but that beautiful fear that draws us close to you, where you say everything's going to be okay. And so we say thank you for that. We thank you for who you are, your death, your resurrection, all of that, the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior and Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we sing this closing hymn together, that they will say yes. Oh, even if they want, by coming forward, if they want to come forward or sharing with mom or dad or one of us, that they've made that decision to follow you. Impress on our hearts, Lord Jesus, your strength, your mercy, your grace, and more than anything, your love. In Jesus' name we pray.